We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
No, I think the whole playoffs, we haven't got very many calls go to put us on the power play. They see what they see. You can't do anything about it, Hags. You hope that comes around. You keep playing hard, earn your calls. You know, we're not going to bitch about it. It is what it is. You know, hopefully we'll start getting the ones that we deserve.
And a penalty will be called.
And so the first power play of this game goes to the Islanders.
Well, Sean Corrali with the slash. Francis Aron saw it.
Bruce Cassidy doesn't like it. That's obvious. And a penalty is called as Leo Komarov lost his stick.
Grizzlick will be the guilty party, and that'll put the Islanders on their second power play. They scored on their first. And then you'll see it right there is the cross check on the shot coming in.
And a penalty, I believe, is going to be called here.
Watch Wagner right here. High stick, cross check to the head area.
Obviously, how frustrating a night was that for you with hockey club?
Barzal with a shot. He scores! He does it again. Matt Barzal is on a run. A chance, they score! All alone at the side of the goal. Guess who? Kyle Palmieri. As it goes, Everly. He scores! Jordan Everly on the weak side. Left alone, and he picks a spot. Another power play goal. Rookie goaltender Jeremy Swayman will relieve Tuukka Rask.
I think it's a good move.
It's OMF on EEI.
So Bruce Cassidy and the Bruins have a right, I think, to be pissed about the calls the other night. Because the calls, and it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while you get a game where the calls go in one direction and you're sitting there going, wait a minute, I'm seeing the same penalties at the other end of the ice, and they're not calling them on the other guys. So they have a right to be pissed. On the other hand, where was your penalty-killing unit? Where were they in this game? You were going up against an Islander team. This wasn't the last series. It wasn't the Caps. It wasn't a team that really has a potent power play. This is a team that struggles on the power play, and yet four opportunities overall and three goals. First three in a row, they get the three goals, and they take control of the game from that point on.
I don't think, you know, I think most Bruins fans, a lot of people didn't like the way that game was called. You know, especially that first one, a slash on Corrali, I thought was kind of soft.
Was.
Even the cross check on Grizzlick, I thought wasn't really a cross check. It was just like a, you know, stick was on the back, and he pushed him. And you see that all the time in this game, especially in the corners. Just happen to see it in front of the net, and he goes down. But I agree with you 100%. Like, I'm going to bitch about the refs. There's no question about it.
Sure.
But I'm also going to bitch about the penalty kill. I mean, good God. Like, just because you give up a penalty, does that mean they got to go 3-for-3? They come out of the gates 3-for-3? You had control the entire first period. You get a penalty after bitching about it the night before, a couple nights before, and that's it? What, you just lose focus? You're so pissed off you can't stop them? Awful penalty kill.
No, it was
but the penalties sucked, too.
No, it was breakdowns because they didn't get a lot of shots. The Islanders didn't get a lot of shots on net. They got good ones because you broke down. And that's the biggest issue I have. But I think Cassidy is right for getting pissed. Now, today, he responded because the league came out and fined him $25,000.
Hey, Butchie, just any thoughts or comments on the fine? And you hope what you had to say last night has a positive impact on the series.
I guess most of what I thought I said, Hags, was more in reference to the Islanders, a little gamesmanship with Barry, his comments towards Bergie. You know, I'm always going to protect my captain and kind of push back a little bit. I mean, listen, we're in front of the cameras a lot in media, and it's an entertainment business, so it's been a good series, so there's a little bit of that back and forth. So that's where a lot of that was directed, and obviously I felt there's some calls that didn't go our way that have gone against us when it comes to high sticks. I know there was specifically one on Wagner, and there was definitely one on Bergie last night behind the net with Nelson, and they didn't get called. I voiced that, and you know, I was held accountable for it. I usually, when you get fined, you say something to the effect of embarrassing or a joke, and I didn't say any of that. I actually think those two officials are excellent officials. I thought they missed a couple of high sticks along the way here in this series. I pointed that out. We're told before, Hags, that, you know, we have to keep our comments civil. I thought it was. They didn't see it that way. Got a lot of respect for Coley in the NHL front office. That's the way he saw it. And we'll move on from that. We'll let it have an effect going forward. I've said any comment shouldn't. The refs should call what they see. I think I said that as well. So it's a little bit about being asked a question after the game. I answered it as honestly as I could, and that's it.
See, that was his intent.
I agree with him. I didn't think he said anything.
He didn't. That was his intent. His intent, Lou, was, as he just said, it was gamesmanship. And so what he did is he said
he went a little bit further than he thinks he did.
He said nice things about the officials. He basically was throwing the Islanders under the bus. A little shot at Trotz.
A lot of respect for Coley
at Lamoriello.
NHL front office.
Well, I mean, the question is, was it civil?
No.
He was ripping the refs and then blaming like the Islanders, Lou Lamoriello and Trotz. I guess
that's what he was doing.
Because
they've
been around so long that they're the New York Saints. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think it was necessarily civil. It was a pissed off coach.
He was trying to be cute, and the league sat there and said, "Stop the BS. You're ripping the officials. You're ripping people." That's what they said. He tried to delicately do it. And they weren't buying it. They're sitting
there
going,
"Well, the New York Saints comments is the great one, you know, not to use, because it's just like they're walking around like, you know, they don't do anything wrong and their poop doesn't stink and, you know, they're just trying to do everything the right way." And I don't think he likes that. I feel like he hates the way Trotz, you know, coaches his team and what he asks his players to do as far as embellishing, you know, begging for calls by, you know, over exaggerating, you know, shots or, you know, whatever it is. I think he hates it. I think he hates the fact, and because you hear it, he says, "We don't do that. We do things the right way. We're not going to play that stupid game. This is hockey, man. This isn't the NBA." I'm sure he wishes you would have said that. This is what NBA and soccer does. They embellish everything. We're not doing that. But they're getting away with it. And he has only himself to blame for not at least encouraging his guys to, you know what, like just play a little bit. Just do a little bit.
Guys do it. How many times do you see a guy?
His players don't do it.
But how many times do you see a guy when they're not sure if it's a minor or a major penalty, and the guy's grabbing his lip and he's trying to see if he can create some blood on the inside of the lip?
I would be biting the inner layer of my cheek.
Right, they do it all the time.
Yeah, you do it all the time. The question I have is like, does it always work? And I know in basketball you see it all the time, right? You hear it all. Oh, he bought that call by riding on the ref. And in hockey, you see this every single game, and especially in the postseason, guys ripping it and everything else. And what Trotz did the other night obviously worked. You know, ripping a guy like Bergeron, saying he's a veteran, he knows how to cheat in the circle, because it was his best game in faceoffs. I think it was like 60%, but he got pushed out of three of them. You know, he got knocked out of three of them. I think Krejci got knocked out of a couple of them himself. Yeah. So he got them to look at that. But I always wonder, because I know, like, baseball is a different animal. Baseball, I think when you get on an umpire, you're screwed. You want to come back and apologize, even if you're wrong sometimes, to try to get on his good side, because they'll hold a grudge against your ass. You know what I mean? So hopefully it works. I mean, it didn't work, obviously, after game four, so he threw it out there after game four to hope it would work in game five, and I don't think it did. I think there was a lot of things that were called, a lot of things that weren't called. I think it was it Paul Mary? I think it was on Craig Smith at one point, 2-2 game. High stick on Smith. It's not called, to the point where Palmieri actually stopped skating.
Yeah, he was ready to go to the
penalty box. He actually drops his arms after he did it. You know, Smith's head goes back. He drops his arms, stops skating. He's like, ugh. Looks up, no call. What happens? 30 seconds later, 3-2 Islanders. I mean, it's a huge freaking swing. You know, and it wasn't perfect on both sides. I get it. It's just that you got burned. You got burned three times. And you got burned on that one. You know, that wasn't a penalty power play goal, but it should have been a power play your way. But yeah, so, I think it was an awful officiated game.
So I think the league probably did have to fine Cassidy, because he was trying to be cute. He was trying to say something critical, and he was trying to, you know, be cute about it. And they see right through that. I also think the Bruins are going to get breaks in this game tomorrow night, because I think that the league is going to look at it. There are too many national media people out there who are barking and basically saying the Bruins got screwed. And the league doesn't like that. The league wants to balance it out. And they're probably going to say to the officials, "Hey, guys, you know, there were three bad calls here the other night. We got to be more careful about this. You know, we got to be more diligent in picking it up."
Integrity of the game.
Integrity of the
honor.
Game. What about the children?
The children.
They're watching these games.
Yeah,
the children. I think they get breaks tomorrow night. Is it enough for them? to put them over the top.
You know what a break? You know what a break looks like to me? Like Marchand, you know, making that first attempt on goal that just kind of swung wide and just couldn't get it in there.
It just drifted right through.
That to me
are
the breaks that I'm thinking about. It's like it's just stuff like that, like
see, those aren't breaks.
Extending leads. Like, I know, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
I know, but
I mean, you want phantom calls, like calls, you know, hits that don't exist, and you know,
no.
I just
think that if the league sits down and talks to the officials and says, okay, we've gone over this, because that league is really big on sitting down, going through videos. I mean, Richie got fined $5,000 right today.
Yeah, Mayfield,
right. And so, for an elbow, that was not a penalty, correct? Not a penalty.
Well, I watched that replay. I mean, because it was like, you know, Mayfield was down on his knees, so it was low, right? And it was a hit to the head. Well, the guy's down on his knees, he's playing the puck. There is a little bit of, he brings the elbow out a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. It hits him. So, but, I guess,
but,
you know.
But the point I was making is the league is notorious when there's a suspension. What do they do? Or a non-suspension. They come out with a video and explain everything. I think they're into sitting and explaining to the officials, guys, you blew some calls here. We have to do it
during intermissions.
Yeah, we have to be a lot better about this. And so I do believe the Bruins get breaks tomorrow. The other thing I will say about the Bruins is if there's any team out there that plays at their best when they're desperate, it is the Boston Bruins. They have been great at this with this cast of characters. And I think that the Islanders are in a position where they're at home, they're before the Nassau Coliseum crowd that it's going to be crazy or whatever. On the other hand, if the Bruins take a lead early on, you take that crowd right out of it. I think the Bruins come up big in this game tomorrow. I'm not saying they're going to win the series because I think they could go back and lose Game 7. I think tomorrow you're going to get their best effort.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to win 2 in a row. And I would say that so after Game 4, you said, all right, they were embarrassed. You know, you know they're going to come out in Game 5 and just go crazy. And they did. It was amazing just how the speed difference, the ability that, you know, I was watching that game going, Tuukka Rask is probably so bored right now. He's got nothing to do. Like, all the action is going on the other side of the ice. He's got no interaction. He doesn't have to do anything. And then, sure enough, Pastrnak, after completely whiffing the previous game, makes an unbelievable shot. So he's feeling good. He's got his energy going. Yeah. He's feeling good about himself. Literally, next thing you know, they tie the damn game up. Yeah. It happened that quickly. Well, it was almost all for nothing.
And the same thing, by the way, a one-timer that he didn't waste any time on, and he did quickly. I think the biggest problem in that first period, because I agree with you, they dominated. The Bruins dominated the first period. Biggest problem is they came out of the first period tied one apiece. So then you got into the second period. Now you get the bad calls out there, and suddenly the Bruins are reeling. They're looking back at the first period. We busted our ass. We did all that work. We're in a tied game. Now we're trailing in the game. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, but you're 2-2, and Marchand with an unbelievable goal. Like, I still felt like ultimately they were in it.
See, to me, it's like I feel like Cassidy's bitching about these calls is having a negative effect on the entire goddamn team.
It might be.
Because, you know, you're sitting there, you dominate the first period, and there's a bad call on Corrali. You're snapping. Everyone's pissed off. Power play goal. Oh, typical refs. You know, and it's like, okay, you know, there's really, at some point, you got to take a step back if you're Cassidy and say, listen, yeah, it's a bad call. I don't care. Go kill the goddamn penalty and keep momentum. Instead, you go into the period complaining about a call, and it's 1-1.
Well, he's screaming from the bench. He was screaming.
So what happens? You come out in the second period, you know, and you dominate early on that second period. Boom. Here comes a cross check from Grizzlick. Everybody's pissed off again, and here comes the second goal. You're down 2-1. And it's just like, you know, it's almost like this negative effect on this team because you're bitching so damn much that at some point you got to sit there. And just like in baseball, too, the umpire sucks. All right, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go up to the plate, take yourself out of the at-bat before you even take a pitch? Or are you going to sit there and not care and just deal with it and move on and kill the freaking penalty?
Yeah, I almost think that by doing that, you give the guys justification for why we're suddenly trailing in this game.
Every penalty, right. The first three of them.
Woe is me.
You're down, woe is me. Guess what? Goal. You know, and it turns into it. It's like, dude, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad call, but what are we doing?
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you.
And he was so adamant and loud and boisterous about it. From behind the bench, you almost get the feeling that maybe the players looked at it
team
and said,
See,
look what happened to us. See, you know, we're the victims.
Yeah, but also
we're the victims.
But he was already kind of, trying to, I guess, lead the witness after, what was it, game four. And then, sure enough, game five starts, and right away you get the slashing call by Corrali, right? And you're like, all right, seriously, this quickly? I mean, we just totally dominate. We're kicking their ass, doing everything we want to do. No, we don't have as many goals. We couldn't extend the lead like we thought we should have been. But fine, whatever. We still feel good about ourselves. And sure enough, they get back into the game and feel good about themselves because of a bad call.
All right, so Cassidy played the game after game four. And as Blue had already pointed out, it didn't work because they didn't get the calls. It was just the opposite. So what does he do after game five? He doubles down, and the only thing that's happened now is he's got fined $25,000.
So this is my take on it. We're playing a team that has very respected management, coaching staff. They won a Stanley Cup. But I think they sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, not the New York Islanders. They play hard and they play the right way. But I feel we're the same way. And the calls, the exact calls that are getting called on us, do not get called on them. So, and I don't know why. These are very good officials. They're at this point in the season for a reason. You've got continuous high sticks every game, the exact same high sticks. Bergie or Nelson behind the net, the one that comes up on Smith. Marshy got called for that in game one. I could go on and on. Wagner the other day in front of the net. Maybe we need to sell them more flop, but that's not us. You just hope they'd see them. I mean, the same calls go against us. So it's not like I'm sitting there going, well, every call against us sucks. It's not true. It's just the end of the day, the similar plays, they need to be penalized on those plays. But like I said, I think they've done a great job selling that narrative that, they're clean. They play hard. Hard brand of hockey. Love the way they play. But they commit as many fractions as we do, trust me. So it's just a matter of calling them. So, that's the part that I guess gets frustrating, but you play through it. It's like the Bergeron today. He's throwing out the first two, three, four faceoffs he takes because someone mentioned, have a little respect for Patrice Bergeron. He's up for the Selke. He's been a warrior in this league, a face of the franchise, does everything right for hockey, sells the game, and that's the way you treat him. I mean, come on, because someone speaks out and says something like he, all of a sudden. So they just need to be better than that. Just call the game what you see. Quit listening to these outside influences.
Somebody hook him
and get it done. I don't think they were great tonight. I'm not going to lie to you, but they have been, and they're good officials.
They went on and on and on.
Good guys, good officials. And I don't know tonight. I just thought they were off. But
good, bad, good,
bad. He could say the same about us. But at the end of the day, that's what I thought, Jimmy. And
that's what I thought, Jimmy.
And let's just play hockey and call the infractions that happen, and we'll see where it goes.
He's not just
that was the ultimate plead.
He's not just playing. He's not just playing hockey.
So they weren't good.
And so what he did is he took game four and he did this, and it did not work.
Didn't work.
And he said, "Screw it! I am going to reemphasize all of this and add on to it, double and triple down on it." And I think the reason he's doing it is he thinks it's going to get to the officials for the next game. So I asked both of you, does it work?
No.
Or it's a huge mistake if he does this twice. All he's out is 25 grand here.
I don't think
it works.
It's not working. For whom?
I don't think it worked last night, Christian. Don't get me wrong. I think the reason he did it is he said, I know eventually I'm going to get their attention because the league is going to have to review this stuff.
And game four didn't work, obviously.
Did not.
I just think you saw like an extremely frustrated coach that let it get to him. And because of that, the team took the personality of the coach and they let it get to him as well. And I think there was a little bit of, woe is me. We can't catch a break. You're screwing us. And a loss of focus on what your job is. So, he said what he said. I would like for them to just sort of move on now and just see what the hell happens in game six. Like, if you come out in the first 2 minutes or 3 minutes and there's a so-called bad penalty, he's just going to give them a goal? Like, 1-0? Feel sorry for yourself again? So, I think at some point you say your piece and you got to move on. And he said his piece after game four and he's pissed off. It didn't work. So, then he unloaded after game five. You got to let it go.
I think he has taken the opposite strategy that you would have, and he's sitting there going, if I keep on doing it, I know how the league operates. They're going to watch the videos. They're going to talk to the officials, and I'm going to get some breaks or at least a little bit of equality coming up in game six. Why else would you do it? Because everything else you said is accurate. I think if anything, his team. Now, granted, you don't have Brandon Carlo, so you're weaker on the PK. But on the other hand, you were terrible on it for the first three penalties. You were awful on it. So you can look at the bad penalties and say, oh, we're the victims. But then your guys did not do their job on the PK. I think he's doing it because he still thinks, and maybe he's desperate, he still thinks he's going to get the officials to give him some breaks tomorrow night.
Yeah, but even with that, it's like, okay, so fine. So you got some bad penalties. You got some bad luck. Call it whatever you want. I just feel like last night they were playing with like one arm tied behind their back, and based on the fact that your goalie was 50% of himself. So to me, and I feel like that's so fine. They got to play. So Cassie comes out. They got to play better in front of them. They always do. They always got to play better in front of them. Like, you have no defenseman in front of you. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you're never going to stop anything. So I feel like that's a major issue, which is understated. I don't think that's getting enough play. Then you throw Swayman in there, and he gives up a goal immediately. Now it's 5-2.
Yeah, but I will say this, and you already talked about that first period because the Bruins were dominant. Here's what the Islanders do. They just kind of hang in there, and they hang around. And you sit there and say, how the hell are they hanging into this thing? Because the Bruins were dominant. Now, the Marchand goal, the non-goal, that just slid across the crease.
That was a killer.
That's 2-0 at that point. And then Bergeron had another golden opportunity.
It would have been 5 minutes into the game, he should have been up 2-0.
Yeah, he made a great save on that one. So now you could be up 3-0. Instead, you're up 1-0, and then they score at the end of that first period. And you're sitting there in the dressing room, and going, what? We just played our ass off?
Yeah, and all we got to show for is freaking one goal.
But this is what the Islanders do. They make it ugly. They just
hang around.
They hang around. And so you don't think they're that good, but they're good.
Well, the thing is, too, is like, people talk about how they just sort of jam it up in the middle and they hunker in and everything else. Remember, it was like the Devils, right? Old school. Yeah. Lou Lamoriello, okay? Yeah. Back when he was the Devils as well. Maybe the same thing. But this team's a little bit different because they do that. But when they get the turnover, they attack. You know what I mean? Yeah. They still go after you. There's still a lot of breakaways with this team. The Bruins, it was the Corrali one. I think that was the fourth goal. Like, you're in a power play. And he's got the puck, and I understand it's a backhand, but he tries to do like a backwards little back pass in his own zone. And I know it's his backhand, and it's not exactly the easiest thing to clear the zone, but you got to do a better job of clearing the zone.
Yes.
Like 3 seconds later, it's a goal. And even the one Swayman gave up, was it Craig Smith, I think, tried to clear? But I don't know, the defenseman kind of jumped up and kept it in. I don't know. What's that?
The backhand?
No, not the backhand. The fifth goal on Swayman. So I think it was Smith tried to clear it. Defenseman jumped in the air. And, you can't get the puck out of the damn zone. It was a great play by the guy jumping up in the air and keeping it in the zone. But, they can't get the puck out of their zone. And you just see it. In the turnover, they just attack. Yeah. And it ends up in the back of the net, especially in the postseason. They can't do that. So I don't know if Swayman makes that much of a difference. But I know, as you mentioned, 50%. I think he's better than 50%. But he ain't right. Tuca's not right.
No.
You could tell in that third and fourth goal, he wasn't right. He's falling down on the ice. His head's almost hitting the ice on the third goal.
Just
and the fourth goal, he can't get side to side anymore. As the game wore on, you could just see him. He wasn't moving.
Yeah, so the question is, why was he in there in the first place? What was he doing there in the first place?
I think that's a great question. Because he did not go out for the morning skate. It got the antennae up, and people were sitting there going, wait a minute, is he able to go? So that was a little bit strange, but I think he's done that before. So people, at least the reporters, were saying, he's done that once or twice before, so you didn't take it seriously, and then you found out he was going to start in that game. But you're right. Based on what you saw last night, and he really wasn't tested, they had 16 shots on him. And you sit there and say, he wasn't right. He shouldn't be in there. Now, I think there's no way you put him in tomorrow night's game unless he is really close to 100%.
I don't think you put him in.
He's got to be close to 100%. I don't know how he's close to 100% tomorrow night.
No, I mean, I'm sure.
You got back injuries. You know what it's like.
I guess it's possible, but I'm a no. I'm like, listen, Swayman, we need you. Hey, everybody, all hands on deck. Guys, can you get us to game 7? Get us to game 7. We'll make a difference. And then Tuca will have over 72 hours to get healthy.
Yes.
Because, he is the better, but he just needs...
He ain't healthy.
He needs that. Yeah, he needs it.
He ain't ready. And before the season started, Cassidy even said, we have a competent backup. And they do. This isn't Halak. If it was Halak, I would say you roll Tuca out there. but it's not him. And before the postseason started, there were still Bruins fans that loved what they saw from Swayman. That questioned whether, you know, Swayman, oh, you know, maybe he should start in the playoffs. Even though I thought that was jokey, Tuukka's still the better goalie. But it's almost like we forgot. People have no problem putting Swayman in. Then all of a sudden, here you are in game six. And I get it. It's a big spot. It's elimination on the road. Put him in. I mean, the guy you got, your starter's not healthy. I mean, you're trying. The goal to me is to win 16 games. This guy ain't doing it.
No.
He's not making it through.
No.
He's in the 10th game. In the second period of the 10th game, he started to break down. And it's not his fault. He's got a bad back. You know, we can get into the conditioning, whether it's his fault or not. I'm not even going there. I'm just saying the guy is hurt. And he's not going to make it through. So if you got to go to your second goal, the Islanders did it in the first round against Pittsburgh. They went with the other guy for a couple of games. He got hot, so they stayed with him. So just run with this guy. Maybe it's just for game six. Maybe Tuukka needs 2 or 3 days. Maybe it's for 6 and 7, and then Tuukka can get you back in that next round. Whatever. Go with the healthy goaltender.
See,
the kid's good.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me that you go with the kid tomorrow night, and we'll see. And again, you know what? Neither goaltender may make a difference because your problem may be in front of the goalie. Okay, and the fact that you're depleted right now with injuries on your blue line. But I would say that you go with the kid tomorrow, and if Rask is feeling that much better on Friday, maybe you can go back to him. If Swayman is not that good tomorrow, and you end up still winning the game. I will say this, and we've said it many times before, the Bruins are really good in these situations. When their backs are against the wall, it's a good old cliche.
Mm.
This is
a hockey
where,
term.
Yeah, this is it's not a hockey term. It's
lots
like,
of hockey.
It's kind of like a basic term. This is where they're really good. All right, 617-779-7937. Who should start tomorrow night for the Bruins? Should it be Tuukka Rask or Jeremy Swayman?
For nearly 30 years, the home of the Boston sports fan. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending brought to you by Awaken 180, who encourages you to drop a restriction you can control, the weight holding you back. Now let Paige and the Awaken 180 coaches show you how. The Red Sox look to win their 6th straight. As they get ready for the Astros here at Fenway Park for a 3-game set, Martin Perez takes on Framber Valdez for Houston. First pitch will be at 7:10. Joe Castiglione, Sean McAdam, and myself, we will be on that pregame at 6:10, the Shaw Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Chris Sale met with the media, was asked if he would consider joining the bullpen before coming a starter again. Sale responded by saying, quote, "I haven't thought about it. If they told me they need a bullpen guy that we can build you up instead of a rehab assignment, I'd be in for that. The quicker I can get back in this team, yeah, I'd like that." All right, this is from the NHL Public Relations Department. Bruce Cassidy, as we mentioned earlier, has been fined $25,000 for his public comments, critical comments of the officiating crew following Game 5. Nick Ritchie was fined $5,000 for elbowing Scott Mayfield as well. Cassidy noted today that Curtis Lazar could not make the trip and will not make the trip to New York following an awkward collision. And the boards last night, Kevin Miller, Brandon Carlo, they're not traveling either. NBA playoffs, they continue tonight. You got the Hawks and the Sixers, game two at 7:30 with Atlanta leading that series 1-0. Jazz and Clippers, they tip off at 10 o'clock in game one of their series. And the NHL playoffs, you got the Lightning Hurricanes. They meet game five in Tampa holding a 3-1 series lead. Game five between Colorado and Vegas, they follow that with the series tied at 2-2. That's what's trending now on WEI, WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com. On Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
Tuukka, I mean, he's not going into that game last night if he's not ready to play. And he obviously, going to morning skate, I know that he didn't skate with the team yesterday morning and there were some question marks. And yeah, he's definitely banged up. I don't think that Bruce Cassidy or Tuukka Rask would have put themselves in that game. He would have put himself in that game if there was a significant issue. I just think that this is your number one guy. He's the guy that you've got to put in net. I think he deserves to start if he's even feeling 90%. I mean, Tuukka Rask at 90 or 80% is better than Jeremy Swayman in net as a rookie netminder going into an elimination game.
Catherine Tappan from NBC Sports telling us a couple of hours ago, you stay with Tuukka Rask. And if you missed the interview, Christian, right after that, just tore her apart. Basically just said,
ripped her.
This is stupid. It's idiotic. Yeah. How can you even come up with that take? It makes zero sense.
That's what I heard.
Yep.
That's it's this. That's right.
You go with Swayman.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though. She's going to say Hole and Goats. Watch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Tomorrow night, Hall and Goats is going to be somewhere. They're going to have a discussion about nicknames for lines, and Hall and Goats will be represented. Thank you very much.
See how that works.
But she's I think she's out of her mind, though. I mean, and I wish she was on right now because I'd tell her to her face.
Yeah. I'll call her back.
No, don't call her back. She's busy. She's busy. She says she's busy.
What a wuss.
Oh, my God. You're crazy.
I disagree totally. Like, Tuukka Rask, we saw 80% Tuukka Rask. He sucked. He was terrible.
And I will say this. You've been a big Rask proponent.
Yeah, to me, I know. I saw that.
Turned on him.
I would say this.
No. I saw him kind of just walking, skating around. It just looked uncomfortable. He looked stiff. Yeah. He looked like I do on a regular basis, like trying to get out of my chair.
I didn't think he looked right. But I think it's going to be really hard. I think he's got to go backwards for Cassidy not to stick with him. You know what I mean?
Get worse?
Yeah.
Physically?
Yeah, and I just think that it has to go worse for him not to start on. I just think elimination game, and Tuukka's his guy. I think it'd have to get worse for him in the next 24 hours for him to start Swayman. Okay. I mean, I hope that's not the case,
but I'm just saying,
like, what we would do, what he would do, I think are two different things, obviously. So I think that he would, he's a coach of this team, but I just think I can see him sticking with Tuukka, and I think it's going to be a mistake.
Quick hook, suppose the same thing happens. Because Christian brought up this point earlier. Tuukka didn't have to do anything in the first period. Everything was down at the other end.
He's still good straight on. And I think it's just what we saw was going side to side.
Yeah, who isn't, though?
Well, he's an elite goaltender. I get it. So straight on, he's still tough to beat. But you know how they're going after him now. I think the first two goals were over his right shoulder. The fourth goal, I think, was over his left shoulder.
Barzell's got them all figured out.
Yeah. So and now it's like, okay, that's what they're going for. Fine. That's what a lot of teams go for. I get it. But now they're looking at a guy that I don't think moves well left to right. I just don't see it. He doesn't recover.
I don't know how you can get away with a guy that doesn't move well left to right and put him out there in this game, Lou. This all-important game six. And so how short is the hook here? Because if he goes out and...
How quick is the hook?
Quicker the hook. What did I say?
Short the
leash.
You're
having a lot of trouble
short
today.
Short the leash.
I am having
the
difficulty with the
nets.
I don't think
you have a quick mind.
It is my third language. Okay.
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, you sort of see what it looks like, right? But I mean, if you're down 2-0 in the first or something, but again, you got to see what the goals look like. I don't know. I mean, if there's two breakaways or just like wide open shots because of blown defense or giveaways again, but I think you got to see what it looks like. If it looks like the third and fourth goal, I think you pull his ass right away.
Andrew Raycroft was on with Greg Hill this morning, and he said he looked uncomfortable right from the get-go, right from the beginning. So they can see that. I mean, he's an ex-goaltender. Coaches can see that. If you're seeing that he's uncomfortable right from the get-go, are you going to hang in there with him?
No.
So the maintenance that he needs, is he, since they got pulled before the third period, did he maintain everything? Did he fix everything? Like, what is he? Like, what
you
is
have
it?
A
Did
back just... problem. You don't fix a back problem.
No, and that's the problem, too.
In 24, 48 hours.
It's like, we've seen goaltenders in the postseason get pulled, and they come back with him in the next game because he's their number one goalie. So we get it. Game gets away from him, just doesn't have it tonight, and you'll be back tomorrow.
But that's not what he was doing.
But this was maintenance. He's admitting he's not 100%. Tuukka's telling the world he's not 100%. He's been doing it since the opening, since before the playoffs even started. You don't pull a guy maintenance because, down two goals entering the third period at home. It's either you don't like the way he looks. It's like maintenance. You pull a guy out if it's like a blowout for maintenance, but it's a two-goal game. You're down two at home going into the third period. That game's not over. It's not 5-1 or 6-1 or something outrageous. It's 4-2, for God's sakes. You stick with him. You didn't play him because he's hurt.
If you have a back problem, groin problem or something like that, it's not going to fix itself in 2 days. And by the way, he might get, treatment, might feel fine at the beginning of the game. But once you have to make a great save or you have to go sideways to sideways, guess what happens? Your back goes out again. And that may be what happened in that game last night.
Yeah,
he might have been fine before the game, and he said, I'm good. I feel fine.
Okay, fine. Tuukka, Battlefield Commission, man. Good job. Good try. You tried, man. Here's a medal for you. Okay, but we can't have this situation pop up again. Like, we rather have a 100% of a rookie goaltender than 50% of a vet. Like, that to me is my option. I'd rather take my chances and empower that guy and recruit other guys to kind of back him up and empower him.
So are they letting him make the decision, do you think?
I think he made the decision. I feel like he convinced them. He convinced the trainers. He convinced, hey, you can trust me. Because in my opinion, this is how it works. I'm hurt. I haven't been feeling good. You know it. Okay, let me see how I feel in the morning. I can do it. I tested it. I feel fine. Then the game starts. You're like, whoa, this is quicker. This is faster. I can't react. I tried to do it. Battlefield Commission, pull me. Whose decision do you think it was? You think Rask, like, listen, I can't go anymore. This is only going to get worse. I can't help you win.
No, I think he convinced them that he probably was okay to go, but I don't know what his motivation was. Is it possible? Because we know he's had this issue. He only played 24 regular season games. So is it possible that he's sitting there going, I can't sit this one out. If I sit this one out, oh, my God. You know, what are people going to say then? So he's fighting through it.
He'll have a built-in excuse.
No, that's not a built-in excuse. Do you think the Bruins fan base, if he didn't go out and play in that game last night and they lost that game, let's say Swayman is the goaltender and they lose that game, what do you think people are calling up about today, guys?
Killed.
Exactly. They destroy him.
Well, quit on the team again. Yep. But, I mean, that doesn't matter, right?
It shouldn't matter to Bruce Cassidy.
No, that's what I mean.
But it might matter to Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, it might. Okay, now you're going to go out there and you're going to play hurt, and guess what? It doesn't matter. People still call up and say you suck. You know, they don't say he's hurt, and I'll give him a pass. No one's going to give that guy a pass right now. Or I should say certain fans aren't going to give that guy a pass. So you try to play through it and you lose. Okay, what have you gained? What have you gained?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's like you play through it. First off, you play through it without anyone knowing what you're dealing with. I mean, just coming out and talking about how you're not 100%, like, all the time, just throwing it out there. You know, I'm good enough. I mean, whatever, I'm out there playing. But, you know, rather than just saying, I'm fine. And then when you get eliminated, we hear that you're dealing with a back. You know, it doesn't matter what people are going to say. It doesn't. And people say, oh, he's got an excuse. Oh, yeah, sure, it was your back. Like, so it doesn't matter whether the truth, it doesn't. So you go out there, and if you're not healthy, if you're Bruce Cassidy, that's why you're the head coach.
Lou, I think
you put your best goalie out there, the healthiest goalie out there, and I think right now it's Swayman. He's a damn good goalie as well.
That's what I would do. I think Tuukka Rask is in a no-win situation when it comes to the fan base. So this is Bruce Cassidy talking about Tuukka and his availability.
Tuukka was here this morning going over stuff with Bob. No one went on the ice other than the taxi squad players or the guys, I guess, that didn't play last night other than Swayman. So he'll get his treatment, and we'll find out tomorrow how he's able to, or how he is, and if he's able to go or not.
Hey.
What are you doing?
You okay?
Talking to me?
You're pounding your microphone over there.
Yeah.
You're pounding your microphone.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think this part of it, too, is gamesmanship, okay, because I don't know if he's going to play. We'll see what happens. But if he is hurt, if he's too hurt, you know, you pull him out because you know he's hurt and he's not going to start game three, I think you kind of go with he might be available game three. I think he's our guy. I'm assuming he's playing because you also don't want them to know, you know, that he's either really banged up and he's on the ice. I personally think they want him on the ice.
What was his word today? Gamesmanship.
Yeah, that's what he said. I think the Islanders want Tuukka on the ice. As good as he has been or in his career, I think they want him on the ice because they know he ain't right.
I think Cassidy keeps this quiet or keeps us in suspense, and I think he goes with Swayman, and we don't find out until the last minute, maybe an hour or two before the game.
Oh, yeah, I think they both suit up too. At first, I was like, nah, don't even put him in street clothes.
Yeah, that's an interesting one too.
Just give him the night off.
Yeah, I'm not sure you dress him if physically you don't think he can play. That's more embarrassing, isn't it?
It'll be worse because if the kid does go out there swimming and he just loses his ever-loving mind and craps down his leg in the first period, you're going to go to Tuukka in the second?
Yeah, Tuukka's not going to feel good about that. You're down 3-0. Tuukka's going into the game. I'm not sure that happens. Here's John at Stoneham wants to talk about Tuukka. Go ahead, John.
Oh, you guys are here?
We're here, John. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I wanted to jump in real quick back an hour ago about the school thing when you guys did the
yeah, we're off that now, though, closing. John. Yeah, we're off that.
All right. Because I got to tell
you. Sure, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
That's right. school thing. That was an hour ago.
Wow. Yeah. How you guys are just wimps?
This is the impact of big deal. No big deal.
It was like an hour ago. You guys been on hold for an hour?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? You don't think people wait for you?
I don't have a call screen.
I keep seeing some bald dude
walk back and forth across the screen. Who's the bald dude that keeps walking back and forth across the TV?
Spaz
has not said one word all day.
I know, Spaz. No, Spaz,
you
want to right?
say something? Spaz, go ahead.
I thought he was a Spaz.
Give him the microphone. Go ahead, Spaz.
One word.
What is the call? That was it. Come on, give me
one word. Is two words.
That's it. One word.
One word.
I don't know. I'm working on some breaking news. Some guy. See, I don't know sports radio. Cole from the Yankees. They just asked him a question about using substances, and it took him 13 seconds. He didn't respond and said, "I don't know how to answer that question."
So he pulled a Bill Belichick pause.
It just happened. Awkward silence. I was trying to find it.
Spaz informed me that Derek Cole had some great. Quote.
Derek Cole, is that his name?
Is that Garrett's brother?
Yeah. Garrett.
Okay.
Garrett Cole.
That's his brother. Apparently.
Wow. So 4 hours, and that's what you give a Spaz?
Hey, listen, man. I went out to get audio. No one wanted to use Spaz it. I thought I was doing trending. Tonight. I was all ready for trending.
Why aren't you doing trending?
Are you here tomorrow?
I'm here tomorrow.
Let's let him do one of the.
You got that sound too. I think of some Bruins fans, don't you?
I had some sound from Bruins fans bitching about Tuca. Some ladies trying out to be the coach of the Celtics.
Oh wow!
Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, it's breaking news. Two ladies.
So you're saving that for your trending and put sound in your trending.
Well, it's my own sound. See, because you know you guys have sports radio sound that's legit sound.
Yeah,
right. And everybody's used to that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go get my own sound.
Illegit sound.
Okay.
Illegit. Good. I like that.
So we missed out on that.
We'll do that tomorrow.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Break them in slowly.
We'll do it tomorrow.
If I never get to get on the radio again with Glenn Ordway, let me just say this. It's an honor to be on the radio.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Turn his mic off.
Thank you. Ryan, excellent job.
He's worked with both me and Greg Hill in the last 2 weeks. It's unbelievable.
Look at this. So who's it more of a thrill to work for, Greg Hill or Glenn? Like, who's it more of a thrill?
Oh, man, Greg pays my bills, dude. So
I have to say,
I worked with the guy for 15 years. Hillman's, but Glenn's a legend, bro.
Smart answer.
All right. Aquadera and Glenn.
So Lou's going over to do the baseball game today. He's got his trash can. He's taking his trash can. Now, who did you say in the trending you were working with tonight?
Joe Castiglione, Sean McAdam, and myself.
Sean McAdam is working? Does Sean McDonough know this?
That would be Sean McDonough.
You pushed McDonough out of the booth?
Yeah.
Sean McAdam is not on the call.
Push him.
My first game with Shawnee today this year.
Oh, really?
So I'm excited. Yeah, it's a big game. Fans and everything. People screaming, yelling, cheetahs.
Wait till he finds out you called him
trash
Sean McAdam.
Oh, yeah, he'll be excited. I'm sure that'll come up at some point.
This hour brought to you by FineMassMoney.com. Have a great game, Lou.
Yeah, thank you.
Coming up on the last call, ever wonder what a watermelon being squashed by a bodybuilder's leg sounds like?
This is Spaz's contribution to the show.
No, not Spaz. No, not really. No.
This is going to be really good.
Oh, my God. We have it. Plus, we have the best Charles Barkley impersonation you have ever heard. It's coming up next right here on OMF.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Where's it gonna f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. So we got a Nevada bodybuilder here, Christian, who has set a world record for crushing watermelons with her thighs.
Oh, it's a she.
It's a she.
Oh.
This is Courtney Olson.
3, 2, 1.
All right, guys.
It's exactly like I thought it would sound.
Name that sound. Is it a baby gender reveal or a bodybuilder smashing watermelons with her quads?
3, 2, 1.
That's a baby reveal.
Wow.
You would be wrong.
Wow. I'm wrong.
Nope.
I saw a clip of a baby reveal, which they always go wrong. So this lady was, I don't know, 7 months pregnant, and she power cleaned I don't know, call it 125 pounds. And then underneath each the weights, there was like obviously bags filled with whatever dye, pink and blue dye. She power cleaned it, 7 months pregnant, dropped the weight, and then the balloons popped. Like the things that people do to try to let the world know.
I thought you were going to say drop water or whatever.
No, I just like, well, whatever, just wait until the baby came out.
It's different. It's a different world.
Yeah, the pandemic's over.
We all have to show off. We have to show off. Let me give you Danny Rohier. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. He works at our sister station, The Fan in D.C. Does an incredible Charles Barkley. This is inside the NBA last night. Charles gets to hear Danny do his impersonation.
He can do some impressions. One in particular, I think you will find scary. Have you seen this?
I don't think I have.
It went super viral.
This is tremendous. Thinking. Here's Danny.
This is the first half analysis. The half of basketball was played. That's not the whole game. That's half the game. Damon Lillard, he did a step back, but he stepped forward, and then he moved back. He went back about 25 feet. That's probably that travel, but they're not going to call it. Michael Jr. Porter, he made a bunch of shots. Nikola Jokic, he's tall. And Nikola Jokic, Jimmy Joe Jokic, didn't foul nobody. That was something. That's a good half of basketball between Portland and Cleveland. Back to you, Ernie.
Heard a lot of guys do you. I don't know if anybody's been better than that.
That's pretty good right there. Danny Routier?
Routier.
I tell you what, that was really good. Do you remember when Frank Caliendo went on the set and did the Charles Barkley thing? Barkley was pissed. That doesn't sound like me.
Nikola Jokic or Jimmy Joe Jokic.
That guy was good.
So he likes this guy. Yeah. All right, well, he fixed the mouse just in time for our mouse, Mutt at Night, coming out with a mini Mutt show here tonight. Yep. Isn't it amazing? They fix it for Mutt, and all day long we're going without
the
mouse,
important
mice.
People.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Mutt.
So, Mutt, you'll be happy. All of the equipment is working just fine. We'll be working again tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. We'll see you then, big fella. Have a great night, everyone. Stay safe out there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.